Apologies for a slightly late start. I was waiting for the Sunday school to come in, and then I remembered they told me they're not coming in today. It's the holiday weekend, and nearly all of them are away on holiday. But you'll be back on next week. Yeah. Well, it's wonderful to welcome you all into church on this beautiful, beautiful sunny autumn morning. Isn't it just gorgeous? So I've got quite a few intimations. First one, I think, is just lovely. We've got a beautiful old picture of Cymru High Street, which it's a wee bit different now because there's always cars parked everywhere. But the Brayhead Lunch and Leisure Club were away there to visit the Culty Bragan Prisoner of War Camp, officially known as Camp 21 and named as such to hide the exact location of the camp. They toured the whole camp, seeing the sleeping quarters, recreation ground, and many other interesting areas of the camp, including paintings drawn during the men's captive days, and also found many interesting stories. After their visit, they dined in the Cymru Hotel, and the weather was sunny, and they had a pleasant journey home. A worthwhile visit, and this wartime camp is the only one left standing in the UK. So wonderful. Thank you very much for that. I'll leave that there. Most of the intimations are on the back of the service. I'm away on holiday for a week, and I'm delighted to say that one of our elders, Robert Allen, who's also a reader with enormous experience, will be leading worship next Sunday. And Reverend Helen Jameson of Carluke will be covering any pastoral issues while I'm away. It's coming to that time of year again. I know we don't want to think ahead to the C word, but the Blythewood shoebox appeal is being launched today. You'll see a pile of shoeboxes at the back, and the leaflets are here. They were ordered a while ago, but there was a wee mix-up, but they're here now. So I'm sure most of you know what to do, but if you're not sure, pick up a leaflet and it tells you exactly what to do, what to put in the box. And let's see if we can beat last year's record of the number of boxes. That's great, thanks. I mentioned last week that I was starting a 90 kilogram rice challenge. So have we got some slides? One or two slides about the rice challenge? Or are they not there? Well, don't worry if they're not there. But I've got rice at the back. The whole thing is I've got 90 kilograms of rice in the manse. And the idea is that I sell it to all of you hungry people. £3 a bag, there's white rice and there's brown rice. And if we can manage to sell all 90 kilograms, then the money, the 3 times 90, so the £270, goes to Malawi, and it's enough for one of the rice farmers to educate one of their children for a whole year. So it's such a worthwhile thing. And once their children are educated and they're up and about, here are some of the families, there's other things they use the money for. One of the stories we heard was that initially they have to hoe the ground themselves with a wooden hoe. I think this is a lady showing you how she hoes with a really old-fashioned hoe. And if they've got enough money, they buy a rotavator. Now, a normal rice paddy field is about the size of 2 football pitches, and it would take a group of people about 2 weeks to plough that, whereas a rotavator can do it in half a day. So worthwhile. I don't know how they cope with that, but please help me supporting the Rice Challenge, and I'll tell you a bit more each week. Looking ahead, I've got all sorts of dates. 2 weeks today, the Sunday that I'm just back, I have managed to arrange a speaker to come, and they'll be using the sermon slot. This is someone coming from CAP, Christians Against Poverty, which is a wonderful organization who work really hard with debt advice and helping people to manage their money, campaigning in all sorts of ways against poverty. So that'll be well worth listening to. That's 2 weeks today. The week after that, the 14th, is Holy Communion, and there'll be a bank hall service that afternoon. And then the week after that, the 21st, I have a speaker coming as well, and this is Brenda from The Haven. So she's going to come and take the all-age children's address slot and tell us a bit more about the work of The Haven. And then the 28th, of course, is harvest. So we've got a busy month, which is why I'm taking a week's holiday first. What else had I got to say? The church shop will be open for business from the 15th of October to the 24th, and goods will be collected from Wednesday the 10th of October. So get cleaning out your cupboards and sort out anything that you don't need. Oh, and the conducting funerals course, the poster is still at the back of the church. If anyone's interested, please come and speak to me. And I think these are all the intimations, unless someone wants to remind me. I've got a nagging feeling there's something I've forgotten. It might come later. Any birthdays this week? No, not this week. There will be. We are here in the midst of all the busyness to worship God. God who is love, who calls every one of us His beloved child. And we can only love one another because God first loved us. And His love is a perfect love which drives out all fear. Our call to worship is from the very first psalm in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, and just the first three verses today. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Amen. So let's sing about our Lord of creation, hymn 500.
Thank you.
Well, we've not got many youngsters in church today, have we? But we've got Jennifer and Caroline. And we've got Nicole and Natasha. So Nicole's nursing something very precious at the front here. I'm intrigued. Oh, wow, this looks good. Marshmallows with chocolate. White chocolate and then chocolate on top as well. And white chocolate in the middle. Were you having fun at Breakfast Club?
Yeah, messy but.
Messy but fun, yeah. Isn't that brilliant? And what were you learning at Breakfast Club this morning?
Love.
Love. All about love. And I've been given the most beautiful stone, which speaks about love as well, which one of the Breakfast Club did for me. That's just lovely, isn't it? Because it is all about love. Oh, can I get a teddy bear to love? Oh, thank you. Thank you, Caroline. Oh, do you think Teddy will help me tell the story that I've got for today? Right. I'll see if Teddy can help me read the story. Let's see. And you just tell me if you need Teddy back, okay? But we'll see. Teddy's going to sit here. It's a story called Letting Go. There was once a really old man who had lived a long and very happy life on a beautiful island. He loved his homeland very much. There on the island, all his family, through all the generations, had lived, made their homes, and earned their daily bread, a bit like folk in Forth. So many of you have lived all your lives and your mums and dads and grannies and granddads, and that's just wonderful. But when the old man realized that he was approaching the end of his life, he asked his sons to take him outside one more time because he was getting very frail. And there he knelt down and gathered up a handful of the soil, and he clutched it really tightly in his gnarled old hands. Soon after that, the old man died, and he came to the gates of heaven. The angels greeted him joyfully. "Oh, you've lived a good life," they exclaimed. "Welcome to the kingdom of heaven. Please come in." So the old man tried to cross the threshold of the heavenly kingdom, but as he did so, a kindly angel said, "But you must let go of that soil that you're clutching." "Oh no," the old man said, "I could never do that. This is the soil of my land, my beloved island home." Is Fluffy Jack wanting to try and help as well?
Yeah.
Okay, I think maybe Fluffy Jack's gonna be that handful of soil. There we go, we've got Teddy and we've got Fluffy Jack helping to tell the story. So the angels were very, very sad as they went back into heaven, leaving the poor old man wandering lonely outside the gate. Many years passed and the angels came again. They brought the old man a taste of the heavenly banquet and feasted with him there outside the gates, trying to persuade him to come into the fullness of the kingdom. He wanted so much to join them for all eternity, but again, when they asked him to let go of the soil he was clutching, or even the Fluffy Jack, he couldn't bring himself to do it. So again, they had to leave him standing there alone. Finally, after many, many more years had passed, the angels came again. And this time they brought with them the old man's granddaughter. Now she had grown quite old herself in the meantime, and she had also died. She was so delighted to see her beloved grandfather standing there. "Oh, Grandad," she cried, "I'm so happy that you are here. Please come and join us in the kingdom of heaven. We love you so much. And we want you with us for all eternity." And the old man was so overwhelmed to see his granddaughter that in his joy, he flung out his arms to embrace her, and he dropped the soil and the fluffy jack and the teddy so that he could have a really big, big hug with his granddaughter. And as he did so, of course, his hands were empty. So with great joy, the angels were able to lead him into his heavenly home. And do you know what he saw when he got there? The first thing he saw was the whole of his beloved island. Everyone that he knew was there waiting to greet him. Let's have a word of prayer. Loving, living God, we thank you so much for the Breakfast Club and all the joy and teaching that it brings to our young people. We thank you so much for Nicole and Natasha, for the marshmallows and chocolate which they have made, and for all that all the members of Breakfast Club are learning about love. And we thank you for Jennifer and Caroline, for Teddy and Fluffy Jack. And most of all, we thank you for love and for the knowledge that sometimes to receive your love, we have to let go of things that we're very fond of. Lord, we thank you for love, and we say together the words that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. And now we're going to sing a hymn, and I've forgotten which one it is. It's Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. Oh, I always remember a minister once starting a service with this, and what he did was he went, Brother, Sister, let me serve you. So let's stand and sing, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You.
Thank you.
Now, I understand that if you wish, there is a creche. It's quite funny that today, when we haven't got a Sunday school, but we have got Breakfast Club and a creche, I'm going to be speaking in my sermon about being more inclusive of children in our worship. So that's just the way things happen, isn't it? Thank you. I know that Jennifer and Caroline like to run around. So as we come before God in prayer, I'm going to read for you today a prayer that I heard a long time ago, and it really speaks powerfully to me. So it's a kind of personal prayer. It's quite funny, so feel free to laugh if you want, but I think it gets a good message across. It certainly brings me down to size. It's known as the prayer of an anonymous abbess. So let's pray. Lord, thou knowest better than myself that I am growing older and will soon be old. Keep me from becoming too talkative, and especially from the unfortunate habit of thinking that I must say something on every subject and at every opportunity. Release me from the idea that I must straighten out other people's affairs. With my immense treasure of experience and wisdom, it seems a pity not to let everybody partake of it. But thou knowest, Lord, that in the end, I will need a few friends. Keep me from the recital of endless details. Give me wings to get to the point. Grant me the patience to listen to the complaints of others, and help me to endure them with charity. But seal my lips on my own aches and pains. They increase with the increasing years, and my inclination to recount them is also increasing. I will not ask thee for improved memory, only for a little more humility and less self-assurance when my own memory doesn't agree with that of others. Teach me the glorious lesson that occasionally I may be wrong. Keep me reasonably gentle. I do not have the ambition to become a saint. It's so hard to live with some of them. But a harsh old person is one of the devil's masterpieces. Make me sympathetic without being sentimental, helpful but not bossy. Let me discover merits where I had not expected them, and talents in people whom I had not thought to possess any. And Lord, give me the grace to tell them so. Amen. There's going to be quite a bit about humility, and I'm not sure if that abbess was quite there yet, but it's a lovely prayer. We'll now hear our Bible reading, and Bill's going to come forward and read first from continuing in the book of James. Today it's James chapter 3 and verse 13, reading to 4 verse 3 and verses 7 and 8, the first half.
Two kinds of wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny it. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic, for where you have selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes down from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Submit yourself to God. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desire that battles within you? You desire, but do not have. So you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Mark 9, Jesus predicts his death a second time. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." Amen.
Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. Thank you, Bill. Our hymn before the sermon is number 724, "Christ's is the World in Which We Move." Hymn 724.
Therefore, each of you must put off your falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil... a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed from the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. John chapter 6, verse 35, and then 41 to 51. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." As the Jews were there, began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up as the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me.'" Excuse me. "No one has seen the Father except the one who from God only has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone that may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh. I will give for the life of the world." Amen.
Thanks, Jim. That's okay. Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings of his holy word. Our hymn before the sermon is number 527, 527, "Lord, Make Us Servants of Your Peace." Hymn 527. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts and minds be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock, our redeemer, and our friend. Amen. Be imitators of God. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 in my home Bible reads, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children." And having chosen this title for my sermon, two things happened. First, I realized that in the edition of the NIV we use in church and which is shown on the screens, this verse reads, "Follow God's example," and not "be imitators of God." And then the joys of spell checker managed to change the title from "imitators" to "imitations." I wasn't doing well. But I hope you'll all agree that it really all comes to the same thing, that by following God's example, we are being imitators of God. And ultimately, we may become imitations of God, but imitations in the very best sense, not as cheap fakes, but as genuine human beings, fully integrated in a living and real close relationship with God. And this is further rounded out by Eugene Peterson's words from The Message, the ones we seek to follow in Mainly Music. "Watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents, mostly what God does is love you." So how we do this is detailed by both Paul and by Jesus. We are to put off falsehood and speak the truth. So there'll be no more hiding behind our masks or pretending to be something or someone that we're not. And we must remember, as I spoke about last week, that we are all part of one body, all interconnected, all having an impact on others. Paul gives timeless advice on anger. "In your anger, do not sin." Clearly declares that anger itself is not wrong, but it's how we act out of our anger that can be very harmful to others. Paul goes on to detail the good that we are to do in place of bad. Instead of stealing, we should do something useful with our hands so that we may share with those in need. Instead of speaking gossip or slander, we are to speak only what is helpful for building others up. Instead of bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, any form of malice, instead of that, we are to be kind and compassionate, forgiving each other as in Christ God forgave us. In summary, we are to be imitators of God. Now, I was listening to Gardner's Question Time on the radio last week, and someone asked for advice on getting rid of ground elder, a very invasive weed. Now, as you can see, I have a bit of a problem with ground elder in the manse back garden. So my ears pricked up. There were a number of suggestions, including most of the experts saying how difficult it is to control ground elder. And then one of the experts suggested a different approach. They said what they did was to concentrate on close planting of shrubs and attractive plants, and said the result was that the ground elder was still there, but looked almost attractive as it was only visible in the small gaps between other plants. Well, this struck me as excellent advice, not only for my back garden, but for the gardens of our minds, where all the bad stuff, the anger, the gossip, the bitterness and the lies tend to abound. And I wondered, what if, rather than trying to pull these attitudes out by the roots, as I've been trying to do for years, if instead we planted goodness, kindness, gentleness, love, faithfulness, forgiveness, compassion, so that they crowd out the negative, or at least keep their growth under control? I shared this with a small group of friends, and one of them commented, "Was that what Jesus meant with the parable of the wheat and the tares?" Maybe. Paul ends his passage by writing, "Live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." You see, the wonderful thing about Jesus is that he doesn't just teach us how to live a life of love in words, although his words are wonderful. He doesn't just teach us how to live a life of love by example, although he does that in so many powerful ways. But he actually makes it possible for us to live a life of love. We cannot live without food to eat, so we certainly cannot live a life of love without food to eat. And Jesus knows this so well. So he provides for us not just the whole of creation, all the earth, the plants, the animals. He also gives himself to us in the most extraordinarily self-giving and generous way. He gives up his life so that his body can become the bread of life for us. As Jesus himself said, according to John's Gospel, and which we sang in that Taizé chant, "Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." In commenting on this passage, Tom Wright, the renowned theologian, wrote, "To come to Jesus means to approach Jesus himself, not some Jesus fantasy that could be pulled into new shapes at will. The hope is not disembodied eternity, but bodily resurrection." And he further wrote, "To believe in Jesus means to grasp with heart, intellect, and will that in this human being, in Jesus, the true and living God is fully and personally present." One other theologian, Stanley Hauerwas, put it like this: "Jesus comes not to tell us to love one another, but to establish the condition that makes love possible." Jesus is the way, the bread of life, who makes it possible for us to be imitators of God. In this world, which is so full of grief and anger, violence and tragedy, a world in which everyone seems to be looking out for number one and failing to respect or care about others, we need as many imitations of God as we can possibly have. If we think of the world as a garden, we need some very close planting of God imitators to control the growth of the weeds which threaten our world. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the promise that in you is love unfailing and full redemption. The promise that you will nourish us and renew our strength in each and every situation. Grant that we may both recognize you and serve you as we learn to be imitators of you. Amen. We'll continue our worship with the giving of our offerings. Let us pray. Loving, living God, for all the beauty of your creation and for the gift of your Son who teaches us and makes it possible for us to imitate you, we give you our heartfelt thanks. So, Lord, we ask that you receive these, our offerings, along with our worship, our prayers, and our lives. And Lord, we ask that you will use them for the growth of your kingdom, for the increase in the number of imitators of you. Through Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. All will be well. A wonderful hymn to try and sing when things are difficult. But I love the words. We expect a bright tomorrow. All will be well. Faith can sing through days of sorrow. All is well. Hymn 562.
Thank you.
I'll now invite Stephen forward to lead us in prayers for others.
Just want to begin with some verses from Lamentations, which some people may associate their own experience with. Let's come before God in an attitude of prayer. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I had hoped from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that no matter what we are going through, you are a compassionate and faithful God, and you promise to be with us through it all. And Father, this morning we pray for those in our congregation who may be suffering or sorrowful, those who are lonely or bereaved. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would bring comfort, encouragement, and guidance this day. We pray for our families that you would bring protection and that they may experience your love day by day. We pray for our country and we ask, Lord, that you would bring blessing on it and reverence for God in it. We pray you would guide our leaders in Edinburgh and London in making decisions that they may be in line with your will. We pray for other nations who are suffering war and famine, and we ask that you would bring plenty and peace. Lord, we pray for peace throughout the world, especially in the Middle East, and at this time in Yemen, in Sudan and South Sudan, in Northeast Asia, for the victims of war, violence and oppression, and for refugees. Lord, we pray for all those who work for peace and reconciliation on the Korean Peninsula, for the separated families in North and South Korea, and especially for those who are old and sick. We pray that we may learn to share more fairly the resources of our planet among all people. And we think of the church here. We pray for the groups that will be restarting after the holidays, and we pray for your blessing upon them. We pray for the church elders and leaders of all the groups that you would anoint them with the Holy Spirit for this service. And we pray that the love of God would shine through them as they serve others. And a prayer for the day. God of glory, the end of our searching, help us to lay aside all that prevents us from seeking your kingdom, and to give all that we have to gain the pearl beyond all price through our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Stephen. And thank you, everyone, for joining us in worship this morning. A special welcome to those who are visiting with us this morning. It's been lovely to have you as part of our worshiping community. And our closing hymn is number 193 to the well-known tune, Personent Horie. God is love, his the care. Let's stand and sing. So as we go out into the week ahead, may we remember that God is good, God is truth, and God is beauty. And may we all seek to be imitators of God. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.